News Team Coverage, 94.9 WSJM News Now.
This is the WSJM News Week in Review Podcast for March 29th, 2019. In the WSJM Newsroom, I'm Mike Alarney. President Donald Trump made a surprise announcement during a campaign rally in Grand Rapids this week. He told an overflow crowd of thousands at Van Andel Arena he's changing direction on plans to defund the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative.
I support the Great Lakes. They're beautiful. They're big. And I'm going to get full funding of $300 million for the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, which you've been trying to get for over 30 years.
Actually, the GLRI was established under a bill from Senator Debbie Stabenow, signed into law under former President Obama, at its origins during the George W. Bush administration, so it doesn't date back 30 years. Now, if he follows through, though, Trump's move would prevent a showdown with Great Lakes State's lawmakers as a bipartisan coalition led by Congressman Fred Upton and Senator Stabenow had pushed back and won the previous two times Trump tried to get rid of the funding. In a statement after the rally, Upton called it a huge win for Michigan, great news for our Great Lakes. Benton Harbor High School will soon have a new security camera system. At a meeting Thursday, Benton Harbor Area School CEO Robert Herrera approved the purchase at a cost of just under $359,000. That money comes from the district's $2 million gang prevention grant that came in 2016. Herrera told us the new camera system will be installed over spring break. He says a security consultant last year recommended it.
They wrote recommendations in each one of those areas that might be a high threat. And so the security cameras were at the top of the priority for this building and I believe ACA. These decisions were made a while ago. We're just finally getting around to allocating the money.
There will now be 250 cameras at the high school, all modern, high definition quality. Right now there are 80 cameras of standard definition. District's COO Troy Boone told us the new cameras will cover all areas of the building inside and out except restrooms and locker rooms. Ferrer says the teachers' union president spoke with teachers to be sure that having the cameras in classrooms wouldn't be controversial. That federal gang prevention grant still has about $600,000 left. Ferrer is promising it will all be spent by the end of June. Well, this got weird. A meeting this week at the Benton Harbor Planning and Economic Development Committee went off the rails with Mayor Pro Tem Dwayne Seats, the committee chairman, adjourning the gathering early. The committee was hearing about apprenticeship programs and one that involved a funeral home when Seats got a little offended and restless.
Point of order. We're going to stop this. This is not community economic development, and we are not going to talk about no young kids dressing dead bodies in high school.
And Seats continued to interrupt. You moved into a medical marijuana discussion.
You interrupted us.
This is my meeting. Now you stop that now.
No, I'm not.
No, you stop it now.
You're not controlling.
You're out of order.
The Seats walked in and out of the meeting several times. The committee was to hear about applications from medical marijuana businesses, but the discussion never got that far. Seats adjourned over the objections of other committee members and said Commissioner Mary Alice Adams, quote, "I hope Benton Harbor sees this." But it appears more likely than ever that state lawmakers might finally be able to reform Michigan's no-fault auto insurance system this session, sooner rather than later. Senator Eric Nesbitt of Lawton is the lead sponsor of the bill in the upper chamber. Told Michigan's Big Show they have to get it done now.
If the legislature doesn't respond, I think you've heard from folks around the state that there may be a ballot initiative next year that'll do a full repeal of Michigan's no-fault laws. And from my talks with constituents in my area, I think that passes 2-1.
Nesbitt has set a deadline the end of June to have the overhaul of auto insurance in front of Governor Whitmer to help bring down the nation's highest premiums.
When you're the most expensive state in the nation, something's wrong.
Nesbitt says they're looking at giving drivers choices for injury coverage levels and ending the mandate that all policies include unlimited lifetime health benefits for people injured in crashes. More on that coming up in just a moment. Another focus is giving the healthcare industry a standard fee schedule and finding ways to cut down on abuse of the current system. Now, not long after Nesbitt made those remarks on Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields, came word that the Michigan Catastrophic Claims Association is going to hike its fee. It's paid as part of auto insurance. The MCCA is planning to increase that fee for a third straight year. We go from $192 to $220 a vehicle July 1st. It's not going over well. The $28 increase would set a new record high. Well, Governor Whitmer has ordered an audit of the MCCA as a result. Republican State Senator Pete Lucido of Macomb County agrees with her move.
At the time I took office, They had $18 billion in there. Today they have $23 billion, and they say they are short. They say they're almost $4 billion short. How can you be short when the thing has grown now almost $5 billion? Somebody needs to audit those books.
The Michigan Catastrophic Claims Association covers medical costs exceeding $580,000 that are associated with auto injuries as part of the no-fault system. Congressman Fred Upton this week was among those in the U.S. House voting to override President Trump's veto of a resolution opposing his border wall, seeking to block the emergency declaration for that. The House, however, fell 38 votes shy of the override. Upton says this matter will likely now be decided by the courts.
But in the meantime, I think we do have to work together, Republicans and Democrats, to try and make sure that we do have adequate resources through the normal process that the Constitution, that our founding fathers wrote in the Constitution.
He says the issue is not border security. You don't see us voted for a border wall and increased border security many times in the past. He says the issue here is a president reallocating money for a project just by declaring an emergency. Says that is not constitutional. The legislative branch, the House and Senate, Congress, are the ones that control that. A Medal of Valor from the National Sheriff's Association has been awarded to a Berrien County Sheriff's Deputy. At this week's meeting of the Berrien County Board of Commissioners, Under Sheriff Chuck Height introduced Deputy Paul Grennan. Said Grennan risked his own safety to help a man in distress last year.
This was an incident where we had a suicidal subject who was assisting St. Joseph's Department of Public Safety, who started the house he was on fire, and Paul went in with the fire department, was able to bring him out, and then turn over to the proper medical authorities.
Height says Grennan received the national award for his outstanding personal bravery, intelligently performed in the line of duty at imminent personal hazard of life. County commissioners gave him a standing ovation. He's a previous recipient of a Berrien County Sheriff's Department Life-Saving Award. This one could get a lot bigger before it's done. A Lansing political consulting firm suing State Senator Kim Lozada. Sterling Consulting Corporation sued the Republican lawmaker earlier this month, according to Lansing-based MERS News, saying she has nearly $38,000 in unpaid campaign bills with them. The firm's president, Heather Lombardini, says in a statement that while they cannot comment on any pending legal action, all the work they do is approved by their clients with the agreement to be paid for their advice and counsel. Lozada's office gave a statement to MERS calling it a private business matter, saying a good faith effort was made to resolve the dispute before a lawsuit was filed. When contacted by WSJM News, Lozada's chief of staff said they have nothing further to say beyond the statement given to MERS. The senator's campaign also has 224 outstanding debts listed by the Secretary of State's office. They range from 80 cents owed for unpaid mileage to the $37,600 owed to Sterling. Discussions will get underway later this spring regarding a potential change in the Village of Stephensville. Village President Steve Slavicek tells WSJM News he's taking applications from people looking to serve on a committee to examine becoming a city. Says the main issue is money.
Because we are part of Lincoln Township, we pay a Lincoln Township tax and we pay a village tax. Becoming a city would be you'd only pay taxes to the city of Stephensville.
Says the idea of merging with Lincoln Township is not on the table, adding that idea was floated a few years ago, but the township wasn't interested. Plans to announce the committee in May and would then ask for a report and recommendations on the next step within 10 to 12 months. If the village becomes a city, it would have to either create its own police and fire departments or reach a contract for those services with another municipality. Currently, it's covered by Lincoln Township Police and Fire because it's within the township limits. Slavicek says that is his preference to remain covered by them. A Niles Township man is behind bars in a Michigan prison forever for the 2017 murder of his wife. John Lewis was sentenced to life without parole Monday. He shot and killed 55-year-old Carla Lewis in a marijuana grow room in their home, then called 911 to blame it on two intruders who he says stole her car. Prosecutors say the murder was done to try to cash out on life insurance policies and cover up affairs he was having. The defense attorney for Lewis says he maintains his innocence and is convinced the real killers are still out there. Up near Lansing, officials in Meridian Township say they were duped by former Michigan State University sports doctor Larry Nassar when they essentially ignored a complaint in 2004 from a then 17-year-old girl. Township manager Frank Walsh says they've taken corrective measures to prevent this from happening again. Walsh says officials feel some responsibility for the subsequent victims of Nassar.
We live with the fact of all the young women who were manipulated by Nassar after 2004. We carry that. We carry that every day.
Now, Walsh has only been Meridian Township's manager since 2013. At the time that happened, He was the city manager here in St. Joseph, where he'd worked for 17 years until he retired and moved up to suburban Lansing. As for Nasser, he is locked up in federal prison for child pornography. If he survives that sentence, he's due to serve decades more in a Michigan prison for sexually assaulting hundreds of young girls and women. Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson, hoping a new commission can help make Michigan elections more secure. She tells us the Election Security Commission will recommend best practices, reforms, and strategies to ensure the integrity of elections. The panel includes clerks, computer experts, and nonprofit reps from all over the nation.
We have truly the best of the best national experts on cybersecurity and election security coming to Michigan to advise us on how to build the best and most secure election security system in the country.
Benson is named David Becker, the director of the Nonprofit Center for Election Innovation and Research, and J. Alex Halderman, professor of computer science at the University of Michigan, as co-chairs of the commission. In all, it has 18 members. The body is expected to deliver its set of recommendations by the end of this year. Benson does anticipate it'll recommend creating a permanent office of election security, which Michigan currently does not have. If you were among the area residents expecting to see bulldozers or other heavy equipment knocking down what's become known as the Tarp House at the corner of Niles and Hoyt in the city of St. Joseph by right about now, obviously those expectations aren't being met. The home's owner continuing to fight the city in court over the demolition order. An appeals court ruling earlier this year in favor of the city set March 29th as the deadline for the home to be torn down. St. Joseph City Attorney Lori Schmidt says the homeowner and his attorney are now petitioning the Michigan Supreme Court in yet another appeal.
They're requesting the court's permission to file the appeal, so that's where it stands right now.
No guarantee that request would be accepted if the state Supreme Court ignores it or rejects it. It's very likely the final option. And firefighters in Covert Township were in the middle of a welcome ceremony for a new fire engine this week when duty called. They had to put that ceremony on hold and go fight a fire. A pull-in ceremony was being held for the new engine 1921 when the call came in about a fire at a barbershop on 72nd Street near County Road 378. Firefighters rushed there, put out the blaze while protecting a nearby home. Once the job was done, they went back to the station and finished dedicating the new truck. Now, the brand new engine was not taken to the barbershop fire as it's still being outfitted with equipment. The department says that takes about a month. That's the week that was. We're the end of March, March 29th, 2019. Weather-wise, we're going out like a lamb. In the WSJM newsroom, I'm Mike Alarney.